This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes from the May 21st and June 4th meeting were in your packets. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
I did not see any.
I didn't see any either.
Is there a motion to approve the two sets of minutes?
I made a motion to approve the minutes for May 21st and June 4th.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, I believe we have a presentation from the Gatchel Museum Association. Barb Muller was supposed to be here on behalf of the... Is there anyone here on behalf of the GMA? All right, we will roll that down the agenda. We'll hope that somebody from the GMA does appear, because certainly it looks like we have folks from the museum board here. I'd like to welcome our emergency management coordinator to update us on the Camporee.
Morning, gentlemen, ladies.
Morning.
I just speaking with Commissioner Shelley last week. He asked that I just present an update on the Camporee and all the preparations that have gone into it. Just a quick 5-minute thing, and then hopefully not too many questions. Just want to give you a heads up. It's still scheduled for August 5th through 11th, coinciding with Sturgis. So obviously there's a lot of logistics that are going into play for that in preparation for it. Currently there's monthly meetings that I'm attending regularly. They're typically hosted by Campbell County Emergency Management. So I'm pretty fairly active in those and just kind of get an idea of what we're dealing with. Those are going to ramp up to weekly starting in July, and then we're going to meet daily during the event itself virtually. There's a number of emergency managers in the state that are also working alongside Campbell County to prepare for this. Obviously, it's been my mindset that no county's immune, so... right now, I'm on a major information campaign in our county. So a big part of that is just getting the word out. My two main focuses are really fuel depots and our food supply chain. Obviously, if Campbell County starts to run out of those goods, I'd anticipate them to come this direction and hit us first, obviously, because going east is going to push them more towards the rally. And they're all being encouraged not to go that direction because of that. So I've already gone up and down Main Street, handed out flyers to every business. I've gone to all the fuel stations. I still need to finish going up and down Hart and Fort. So those are my plans, to just have contact with all those businesses. My main information to them has been, I am not telling you that to make any changes or how to run your business. It's just information about this event and how many people are going to come show up and potentially impact our county, so that way we're more prepared, or that they see it's necessary to modify how they're doing things, that they're more prepared. So there's also been some training that's gone on that I've attended, and then there was a full-scale exercise about 2 weeks ago that we did with Campbell County just to prepare for this in the event that there's a mass casualty incident. When you're talking 60,000 people at the complex and the weather that especially Campbell County gets in August, there's obviously the concern for hail and all those other things. And then I've also just continued to present at a number of various meetings, including LAPC. I did a presentation to Hot Springs LAPC for a slideshow I put together, mostly at the behest of Campbell County, because I've been fairly active outside of their, they're pretty busy in their county, so I've been trying to be, kind of be more busy on the outside of it. So, and then I've also met with the Chamber of Commerce and the Tourism Board. Mr. Carrig and I have communicated a lot about it. So there's been a lot of things to try and at least be prepared for this. I'm not anticipating doing much with our Emergency Operations Center. I am going to assist Campbell County with theirs, kind of one of those good partnership things. So if the gentlemen have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.
What is our impact?
It's hard to say how many people are going to actually stay in Buffalo. There's a lot of flights that are coming in and out of, from Denver going into Casper and going into Billings. Rapid City's not really being touched by the event, again, because of the rally. Gillette Airport is not adding, United's not adding any flights for this. So there's a pretty significant potential for a lot of traffic to come through the Buffalo area and Casey as well. And then you've got all the hotels that are booked out in Campbell County. If you look at our hotels, they've been pretty well booked up for the last 6 months in our area too. During the week itself, I don't think that we're going to have a whole lot of camperee folks out here, other than people maybe working the event that are going to commute over because they couldn't get anything more close. What I'm expecting is a lot more of our Campbell County residents to kind of getting out of Dodge, coming up to the Bighorns, going camping and all those things. So I think, we're going to get tourism the week before and after, especially when you got Fair and Rodeo ending the day before this begins, and you've got Longmire Days like the week before that. So there's a lot that's going to be happening in this community. But I think mostly what we're going to experience is a lot of travel through, pit stops, that type of stuff.
So, Danny, it's ages 17 to 21?
No, I think they go down as far as 12 years old, but most of your demographic is 15 to 21. Your 18 to 21-year-olds are typically chaperones for this event. So most of it is college kids that are chaperoning the event that are in that age range. But you've also got like 1,000 or 2,000 adult volunteers that are participating in it. They're between medical staff, safety, and all that stuff too. So
we're looking at some of those families dropping their kids off and traveling the state.
Right.
Why they're...
Yeah, most of the people that go to this event have never been to Wyoming, so this is kind of their one huge trip that they're going to make, at least for this year. Obviously, if you're going to be in Campbell County and you're going to go to Yellowstone the week after, more than likely you're coming through Buffalo. And one way or another, you really should be. So, that's where my mindset's been on the fuel stations and obviously our consumable goods, just because, like I said, when Campbell County starts running dry, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do, most likely they're going to head this direction. So I've just tried to kind of get information out there for any business owners to make those decisions as they see fit, based with with that critical info. So.
Additional questions on campery. While we have you here, just switching gears a little bit, can you update us on your interactions, because we're going into fire season? We did have our budget hearing with the fire warden yesterday. So preparations that you and your office are taking to work with our two fire districts. It does sound like the fire warden may ask on the 24th partial fire restrictions in the county if the drying conditions continue, so how you'll help get that information out and just where you are working with the two fire districts.
So I stay pretty open communication with them at all times, just try to make sure that I know what's going on with them. My main thing is to stay out of their way and more or less just put information out, whether it's on Facebook or Code Red. So if they have resources they need, I try to stay as active as I can involved in that stuff. I've got equipment that's sitting over at the fire hall here locally that is at their use if they need it. I've been basically kind of sitting on sandbags and all that stuff to help, if they need them. I went to the AOP meeting about 2 months ago, and some of the discussion was there, and I just kind of made as many acquaintances as I could. So typically I have really good communication. If something pops up, especially like south of the county, you know, down that direction where it seems like we're a little bit more dry, I typically get word pretty quickly and kind of get that information out when I can. So, yeah.
Don't know how we use sandbags to fight forest fires, but that'll be interesting.
Well, it's all that flooding that comes from all that stuff that gets burnt out, you know.
All right, so you're confident that it was, as we go into a dry summer, that you'll have the resources and the ability to work with those folks to handle whatever comes up?
Yeah, I do. And then the other thing is I have a really good relationship with the Weather Service. And so when there's a, you know, any potential for things to spool up or another resource to get information out, if we have some sort of event like that, something catastrophic, they're really good about getting a hold of me if they even suspect it's going to go that direction. So then I can notify some of our local resources of, you know, hey, this is what we're looking at in the next 2 or 3 days on a little bit more detailed scope. So.
Commissioners, any additional questions for the Emergency Management Coordinator?
Yep. Nope.
Thank you, John.
All right. I can get Jody Sowers, or representatives from the Johnson County Tourism Association, up to introduce their request before we look at the resolution.
Good morning. Hello. So we are asking all the cities in the county, as well as the county commission, to approve placing on the ballot a proposal for a lodging tax increase in November, adding an additional 2% local tax to the state base of 5%. So we have met with the city, town of Casey, and their council approved this last week. And so we're appearing here today and also at the Buffalo City Commission this evening.
So what would that set the local lodging tax at, and how much money will that generate?
So the current base rate is 5% is across the state, 3% is state, and 2% local. And for us currently, that generates about $250,000 a year in revenue. So we're asking for an additional 2% local, which would add an additional $250,000 to that total.
With that, a lot of what that would help do is currently we support both the Buffalo Chamber and the Casey Chamber. We give $15,000 to the Buffalo Chamber for their visitor center. We give $5,000 to the Casey Chamber for their visitor center. By increasing the lodging tax, it would allow us more money, so hopefully we could give both chambers more to have those visitor centers open longer hours and more days. It also would impact our community grants. Currently, we had budgeted $30,000 for community grants. With the increase of the lodging tax, we would definitely be able to increase that and hope and help more of our events and organizations bring more people through. Hopefully that would help supplement the 1% that you guys do, and then the rec board's funding as well, to be able to help those, all of the different events and stuff that happen in town that bring people through and stay overnight. And it would continue to let us grow our advertising and marketing campaign. With Toby here, he's very good at really tracking where our visitors are coming through, so we can target very specifically those areas, because as we know that, you know, once you have them hooked, we can bring more of them in or bring them back time and time again. So,
and how many beds in the county do we have that would be subject to the lodging tax?
Kristen, do you remember that number offhand?
Well, I think we're looking at, according to the signs, the hotel rooms, you have 600 or so hotel rooms in the county. We have 3 campgrounds up here in Buffalo and 2 in Casey that are also part of the lodging tax, and 7 guest ranches. I'm not sure exactly how many accommodations are at those individual guest ranches, but those are the places where the tax would apply.
And then the one that's the hardest to track is our vacation rentals. because there isn't really a list of those anywhere. You know, so all of the vacation rentals, VRBOs, Airbnbs will also be paying that part of that tax.
Could you not get that list from the Wyoming Department of Revenue where those taxes are remitted?
Oh, I hadn't thought about reaching out to, I can't think what his name is. I can see his face. Yeah, I'll ask him that.
And I ask about hotel rooms because you have one motel on 4th Street that is shuttered. I don't know if the Blue Gables is taking guests this year or if it's...
They are. They originally were not going to. They were going to be all housing for their employees, but they are taking reservations. And then the Mansion House is just reopened up as the Boho Buffalo Inn. Sammy, I know I had people in the store this weekend that stayed with her over the weekend, so it'll be good to have the Mansion House or the Boho Buffalo Inn. That'll be a hard one for me to switch to, but yeah.
Well, good, because it's hard to collect lodging tax if there aren't any beds, heads in.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I believe the Mountain View Cabins has changed hands, and that is being cleaned up and will also, I don't know if they'll be open this summer, but I know that they are cleaning up, and the cabins were actually in pretty good shape. It was the grounds that was really kind of a mess, so it'll be good to have that one back up as well.
There's questions for them before we get to the
river. Well, covered everything I was thinking about. I was mostly interested in how many RVBOs there were.
Yeah, and we'll have to get a number on that one, because I know, like, I used to have one upstairs, and it was too hard to get a cleaning person, so I've turned it into long-term running. So I don't know. I just need to follow up with, is it Jim? That doesn't quite sound right. But I've got his number, so.
Okay, Commissioners, before you is Resolution 722, a resolution to place an optional 2% lodging tax proposition on the general election ballot to be held in Johnson County, Wyoming on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Whereas the Wyoming legislature has provided, pursuant to Wyoming Statutes 3915-204A, Romanet 2, for counties and towns to impose an optional lodging tax not to exceed 2% upon the sales price paid for lodging services, and the primary purpose of which is for local travel and tourism promotion. And whereas the placement of the optional 2% lodging tax upon the general election ballot appears to be in the best interest of the people of Johnson County. And whereas, pursuant to Wyoming Statute 3915-203A-2 Section C, the proposition may be placed upon the ballot upon receipt of a resolution approving the proposition from the governing bodies of the county and in the governing bodies of at least 50% of the incorporated municipalities within the county. Now, therefore, be resolved, the Johnson County Board of Commissioners does unanimously favor the placement of the following ballot proposition questions to be qualified electors during the general election to be held November 5th, 2024. 2% lodging tax proposition. Shall Johnson County be authorized to impose a lodging tax at the rate of 2% upon the sales price paid for sleeping accommodations for guests at hotels, motels, tourist courts, trailer parks, campgrounds, dude ranchers, short-term condominiums, and similar establishments in accordance with Wyoming Statute 3915-204A2 to support travel and tourism in Johnson County, with the denotation of for the county lodging tax or against the county lodging tax, dated and approved this 18th day of June 2024, Board of Johnson County Commissioners, Johnson County, Wyoming. Commissioners, that is the read-in resolution. What is your pleasure?
I make a motion that we approve Resolution 722.
I'll second that.
There is a motion and a second. At this time, we would welcome any public comment on the ballot question pertaining to additional lodging tax.
I
wishing to make public comment on the lodging tax? We'll call for public comment one more time. If there is no public comment, I'm placing this question on the ballot. I'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, any additional discussion on this? Thoughts on the lodging tax, the work on JCTA, or anything else?
Well, I think they're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Commissioners, before you, Resolution 722. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Jeff, couldn't you list so you could see the breakdown so I understand where you're coming from? Because a lot of them are the towns that do the additional 2% instead of the community.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Madam Clerk, I believe you have catering permits.
I do. I have two. Both of them are to be seeking approval retroactively. They both kind of got caught having not had gotten these in time for the last meeting. So the first one is Holly Jones at South Fork. She wanted to serve at an event, which is the annual pig wrestling benefit at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. That event was held on 6/14/2024. All fees were paid, and application was in good order. The other one was Frontier Ironworks. We're having an event, and the application was provided by Carl Harper. And from the Cowboy Bar and Grill, and she also just kind of missed her opportunity to get this in at the last meeting. Her fees were paid, and her event was on 6/8/2024.
Commissioners, before you have two catering permits. Is there a motion to approve retroactively the catering permit for June 14th, South Fork, and June 8th? Or Cowboy Bar and Grill.
Make a motion to approve these retroactively for the Cowboy and for Cowboy Bar and Grill and for the Summit Gymnastics with Holly Jones.
Second. There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, next item on the agenda, as you're aware, the Biden administration has proposed elimination of future coal production through coal leasing in the Powder River Basin. Since 2015, Johnson County has served as a cooperator in the drafts and revisions to the resource management plan administered by the Buffalo Field Office. We are now in the process of formal protests. And specifically, this is a protest essentially helping being facilitated by the Wyoming Attorney General's Office and the Office of the Governor. You will see that Johnson County, along with Campbell County and Converse County, yesterday submitted a formal protest to the new Biden administration rules. And so what I'm asking for you today, commissioners, is to retroactively approve my signature on that formal protest to hopefully roll back this new moratorium on future coal leases in the Powder River Basin. In your binders is the short version of this. I do have the 925-page document that was submitted to the BLM last night. It includes our county natural resource plan, our county land use plan, our county socioeconomic plan, as well as comments that we've made over the years to the BLM on the importance of keeping mining jobs in the Powder River Basin and what the economic impact on Johnson County is with those jobs, as well as similar documents for Campbell County and Converse County. So that is where we are today, and I would appreciate your ratification of that work that was done over the last 2 weeks to pull that protest together You also, in your inboxes last night, got a copy of the Wyoming County Commissioners Association's protest to the BLM rule as well, and sharing their concerns over the impact of losing coal production in Wyoming. So, commissioners, do you have any questions on the process, where we are, or steps forward?
No, all I have, the only comment I have is that we stand firmly behind the decision of the Johnson County, Campbell County, Congress County on the coal leasing.
I would agree with that.
Glad to hear that. I would entertain a motion to approve Johnson County's protest to the BLM decision regarding the proposed natural resource plan amendment and final supplemental environmental impact statement for the Buffalo Field Office.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, I do believe we're at the point of the agenda where we have vouchers.
This is a report that all of you would have received from Becky on Friday afternoon, so you've had a chance to review it. We're seeking approval for vouchers in the amount of $821,118.86.
Commissioners, did you have any questions on any of the vouchers?
No, I've had some questions that were answered by the illustrious chairman of the board. So, I move to approve the vouchers in the amount of $821,118.86.
A second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, did you have additional business that commissioners needed to transact? And it is always good to see your smiling face.
Glad to be here. Thank you. I do have an amendment. It's in your packet. We received this a couple days ago. This is just the original agreement was with the Indian Fish Commission to give us some funding for a boat ramp on the north side of Lake DeSmit. That was slowed down by needing some engineering, some specs to be done. I think those have just finished. I saw those additionally just maybe a week ago, and so to allow them, the way that their agreement went with us is we have a certain amount of time to get it done, and this just extends that time. It does not change anything. It just extends the time for us to be able to complete that an additional year, which was very gracious of the Game Fish Commission to do that, and it's also $175,000 that we get to use to get that ramp in, and so that's a beneficial thing for us. And, I've read through it. I don't see anything different except for the change in the times, and so I would advise to go ahead and sign it so that we can continue to develop that part of the lake.
So, commissioners, before you do have this amendment to the initial agreement. This is actually for the original acquisition of the North Access. The money for the ramp, the comfort stations, and the parking area is a separate pot of money. So this is a complete reimbursement to us. As soon as folks from Lighter Ditch sign off on the redesign of how the ditch will enter the lake, then Game and Fish will release $175,000 to us. Our hope was to have this done prior to the end of the fiscal year. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. You see, the Attorney General has already signed off on this, and we just have to have this done before the end of the month, or we risk not receiving the $175,000 in reimbursement for that acquisition. So I would request that you authorize the chair to sign the amendment to the agreement with Wyoming Game and Fish.
Okay, I make a motion that we authorize the chairman of the Board of Commissioners to
and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, any additional business today?
I don't believe so. Am I supposed to have something?
No.
I don't have anything else in my packet. I do have an additional contract that is for a grant that I run, but it's not been approved completely by other entities, and so I will not present that to you today, but it will be presented here probably before the end of the month and may have to be signed and then retroactively approved. So, but nothing else from my office.
Okay. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business that you needed? Ms. Kenyon, any additional business that's come across your desk that the commissioners should consider today? All right, that would bring us then to a time of public comment. Please come forward and introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kristen Dubilar with the Johnson County Tourism Association. Jody Sowers, chair of the Tourism Association. We wanted to talk to you a little bit today. I know there's been a lot of conversation about Camporee, and it seemed like most of the concern is about the Camporee visitors. We're more concerned about the visitors that are going to be coming from Yellowstone, from Cody, without reservations, coming in expecting to be able to stay. Kristen's got some information for you along that.
Yes, I'll share with you. In 2018, I worked at the Hampton Inn as a front desk associate full-time. And on average, in June, July, and August, I would say we had to turn away 5 to 10 to 15 parties in the evening, many nights in that three-month period of time. Luckily, in those days, usually we could call other hotels in our town in advance and try to know who else might have rooms available. We already know that pretty much everything is sold out in Johnson County for the first two whole weeks of August. And we have just recently gathered some information from another board member, Anita Peoples, who runs the KOA, who has indicated that so far this season, she has had fewer reservations booked in advance, but a large majority of her guests are coming in on the day of the day that they want to stay, the day of the evening that they want to stay. Significantly so, she has said, even since last year. I also talked to Betsy and Kyle, the managers of the Roadway Vio Hotel, just last week. Same thing for them. They'll have two reservations for an evening. 75% more will come in that day or afternoon or early evening. My question and concern is, have the commissioners given any thought to how we could help the visitors who may come to Buffalo completely unsuspecting of the situation that they're going to come across when they arrive here? Is there any possibility there could be a plan for opening up parking at Prosinski Park, or I know the restroom is going to be open at Crazy Woman Square 24 hours. To my knowledge, besides the Zip Trip and the Sinclair, those would be the only three places that there would be restroom facilities for someone that might have to park in our town overnight because they can't or won't get on the road to continue on to the next town when they find no accommodations. I'm just hoping that maybe it's in your sights to think about our travelers who may be stranded.
No, I have not thought about that.
No,
I mean, to me, that's, you know, poor planning on your part. You know, I was guilty of it. I pulled into Banff, and cheapest room was $500.
Yes.
So I drove 2 hours. I wasn't mad about it because that's how it worked. You know, if anything, I'm saying put it out on the chamber website. So. And projected on everything. You know, I've been going through your guys' sites and checking on everything. And every slide ought to say, hey, if you guys are planning on being here the first 2 weeks of August, you better book a room now.
Is there any way that the fairgrounds could waive their need a horse rule to be able to stay if we have that situation? And we're just doing the what if because we are seeing so many people traveling in.
last minute.
As we're hearing kind of pre-pandemic, you know, when people weren't so worried about having everything booked and they were a little more free, willy-nilly. So we're just trying to, you know, see if there's some options out there that we can make people aware of in case they do come in. You know, we've got the visitor centers that'll be open, and then our website. Kristen and Toby both have phones that are open 24 hours a day if people have questions that come through. So we're just trying to be proactive and you know, try to figure out some places that maybe people can stay if they do end up here and we're not aware of all of the festivities going on.
So I guess I do have two thoughts. The first, in Kristen, your request about Krasinski Park and parking on the C Street, that's a request you're going to have to make to the city. The county does not own those, and the county does not have jurisdiction within the boundaries of the city limits on overnight camping or anything else. They have home rule, so you'll have to visit with them. Second one, in regards to the fairgrounds, that's a request that you'll need to make to the fair board, and I would strongly encourage your board to make that ask very gently, because you will remember it was your board that took them to the Wyoming Supreme Court over lodging tax. They will also be completing the Johnson County Fair and Rodeo, which is their number one priority. They may not have the staff or resources that all of those kids and all of those projects have just left the fairgrounds. Their top priority is going to be cleaning up the pens and all of the facilities after that. So their ability to say, yeah, we can take, they have limited staff and resources. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to go visit with the fair board, but I would encourage you to also tread lightly when you do make that request, because there's still some pretty raw nerves out at the fairgrounds about lodging and lodging tax.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
And I will be standing up during public comment tonight at the City
Good.
Council meeting. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Is there any additional public comment? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn, just with a couple of announcements. Reminder that the commissioners will continue with budget hearings today. At 1:30 p.m., the Justice Center Joint Powers Board will have their budget hearing to set their annual budget. So with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.